Now, Ireland's current COVID-19 numbers are better than anything we could have hoped for a few weeks ago, according to the National Public Health Emergency Team. New cases of the virus have steadily dropped, with 309 confirmed yesterday, bringing the five-day moving average to 358, down 12% on last week. Meanwhile, vaccinated passengers will be allowed to skip quarantine within days following the new advice from the country's top public health officials. The booking site has reported overnight 2 days reopened overnight, 2 days ahead of schedule, after contractor Tifco said it could open 300 more hotel rooms in time for Saturday night. EU diplomats in Dublin have raised a joint protest over being added to the hotel quarantine list, and the European Commission's now opened an inquiry. Claire Fianna Fáil, TD, from Míle Cathal Crowe joins me on the line this morning. Cathal Crowe, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat.
Good to talk to you. If we can just start, obviously good news in terms of a drop in case numbers. And, you know, there's always a concern that people, you know, might get a small bit lackadaisical about this going forward. But we have been lucky that the Easter, the Easter surge that we were half expecting didn't turn up. But have you reason for hope in relation to the dropping numbers?
I have, and just as I heard on your news bulletin a few moments ago, the situation in Clare is good. It's a hell of a lot better than people would have hoped for. Bearing in mind, there were times there immediately after Christmas, we were hearing on the news there were 1,000 cases nationally. We're now down to a daily average of around 350 cases. And this reproduction rate, something none of us knew of 12 months ago, now it's part of everyday parlance, it's now dropped below the level of 1. And that is what all the time health experts have been telling us is where things become very manageable. And we're at that stage now. Weather's improving. It's a glorious day. Social distancing is working. Schools are back. People can travel in their counties and a little bit beyond it as well. And there's now plans for reopening so many sectors of the economy on a measured basis. And all of that's measured against vaccine rollout. So there's much cause for hope. And I think we're slowly getting to where we want to be by that midsummer period.
But still, a lot of people might be a small bit concerned that we might not reach that target of having 80% of the adult population inoculated by the end of June. With all that's happened over the past number of weeks and the issues, the ongoing issues, are you confident that we can reach that? That's an important milestone.
I suppose we've been at the mercy of two things all along. We've been at the mercy of science. A lot of people a year ago didn't believe we would get to a vaccination point so quickly. And the scientific community around the world has incredibly devised vaccines, and they have a really high efficacy rate. That's the one issue. And the other thing then has been the supply chains. Supply chains have worked pretty well. Yes, a lot of problems with AstraZeneca, and there's no point dressing that up otherwise, but they have worked well. We're now at the mercy of something new, though, and this is where new risks have been identified, particularly in Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca. I just want to quantify that, though, a little bit, because this has been reported. It needs to be said as many times as we can. That risk is very minuscule.
Yes.
In America, yeah, for example, the Johnson & Johnson drug, 4 cases of blood clotting were identified in 4 million examples. So that's a 1 in a million chance of getting a blood clot. The risk of getting COVID and the risk of dying from COVID, if you're particularly vulnerable health-wise,
okay,
is far, far greater than that.
You're dead right. We can't say it enough. We've been saying it all week, and we've been making a point of it all week. But, of course, those milestones, getting the adult population vaccinated, and, of course, you know, for mental health, for business, for getting, you know, businesses open again, reopening the economy, we need to get good news on that as well. Are we nearly at a point where we can nearly start opening more in May, and hopefully hospitality then going forward in June, July? Are you confident that will happen?
Yeah, so first of all, just to finish up on the vaccines, we're going to know next week. The European Medicines Agency is casting an eye over these Johnson & Johnson vaccines. I believe it'll go well. It's going well in America. So that would bring an extra 600,000 vaccines into the stream. It gets us to this crucial point by the end of June, with 82% of our population, adult population in Ireland, all haven't received a first dose. What that paves the way for, Pat, is dining. I hope pubs can reopen in a safe fashion. Matches, and people being able to meet families, religious services, people are able to travel more widely within the country. And it's a fluid situation. Right now, we're in a good spot. Vaccines are on the increase. Everything's going quite well. And yet there are glitches still to overcome. But all of this has been done the safe way. We cannot afford to just, on a willy-nilly fashion, reopen things too quickly. and result in losing all of these gains that we're making at the moment. I think there has been incremental reopening of things. We're getting to that point. And you heard just yesterday where a roadmap for hotels, guest houses, restaurants, etc. is coming about. And there's others I think need to feed into that mix quite rapidly, including religious services or wet pubs, all with restrictions in place. You know, we're not out of that phase yet. We won't be for quite some time. But things can, including barbers, so many things can reopen with the right restrictions in place. And I think the public now have, most of us have got our heads around what we need to be doing to keep COVID at bay and under this 1.0 reproduction rate that we're now
But on. Can those businesses and can businesses say to themselves, yes, we're definitely opening? Can we get some guarantees? This is the problem we had late last year as well. The uncertainty, the pubs are up in arms for months and months over this. Are you confident, or can you give us any sort of guarantee that we will see a reopening of the economy in the next few months? Businesses are just, they just want to get back out there.
Yeah, I think it's pretty certain that, you know, we're now on the 16th of April. We have seen how the reopening of schools has gone over the last 3 weeks or so. It's gone well. We've all school children back now. That was a priority of government. And there's now a roadmap for getting all of these other sectors. And they're all shouting, and they're right to. They're hugely frustrated, pinning their collars off here. Some of them won't reopen as well. And that's going to be a huge damage to the economy. The economy has been, you know, very badly wounded, but yet there have been many supports put in place. The reality is, as we head to that target point of end of June, 82%, that is where you get to this herd immunity phase, a phase I've never liked, but nonetheless, it's one I think coined by Boris Johnson a year ago, and we're getting closer to that point. And with that come all of the benefits. I think there has to be a COVID bonus as well, as some people have said, for those who have been vaccinated. I was in my local supermarket yesterday, and without being ageist, there was a very clear age demographic all out doing their shopping because they've been vaccinated. They feel safer. They're circulating. And we need to see more of that. And we will see more of that.
But there has been, Cathal, you'll agree, a lot of confusion, a lot of issues have arisen over the... I know you touched on AstraZeneca, you touched on Johnson & Johnson. But the Taoiseach has said that anybody who refuses to take a vaccine should be put at the end of the list. Now, whatever about anti-vaxxers or people like that, people who are so afraid of taking the AstraZeneca vaccine and refuse to take it shouldn't be put at the end of the list, surely.
I just think the European Medicines Agency is concluding its report in a matter of days. So I know it's been reported.
No, specifically reported in relation to Taoiseach Leo Varadkar's comments on putting people at the end of the list. Surely if they're making a decision not to take the vaccine because they're scared, not because they're anti-vaxxers, they're being discriminated against. Where do you stand on that?
I don't necessarily believe someone... Look, if you're refusing a vaccine on the day, well, then someone else rightly should get that jab, because there's so many people who would run across the road and run across the country to get a vaccine any hour of the night, day or night. So I think we need to prioritise those who are willing to take it. However, yes, it's, you know, there's anti-vaxxers, and I don't agree with that myself. We've quite a few of them, but there's even some in politics. But what I would say is that those who have reasonable reservations, and the right to reasonable reservations and to be watching what's going on, I don't think necessarily they should go to the back of the queue, but they shouldn't expect that a vial of vaccine just sits on a shelf for them, because they won't accept it today, it'll be there next week. It has to go to someone else. There's people at home, we still have some people in their 70s, hearing this announcement that you know, the 60 to 69 age bracket will be now vaccinated over the next 5 weeks. We still have some in their 70s waiting for that call up. So, like, we're slowly getting from phase to phase, and if someone's going to skip a phase, well, I don't think they should go to the back of the queue, but absolutely get that vaccine to someone else and get it to them quickly.
Oh, absolutely agreed, but they shouldn't be put to the end of the queue. You rightly said there are people who will run across the road to get a vaccine. Those people who have been, you know, and it is, of course, because everyone's being overcautious that a certain age group will not get the AstraZeneca vaccine, but if they choose to take it, if they want to take it because they've looked at the data, they know well that the government and the medical professionals are erring on the side of caution here, being overly optimistic or overcautious rather. Do you think that people can or should be allowed to opt in to get the vaccine if they wish to do so, the AstraZeneca particularly?
I do, and this has been a debate happening over the last few days. So there's a lot of particularly younger people now who would be, it's been reported today that some of the under 60s will have to wait till June. Now, June is going to be the biggest month of all for vaccinations. So some of them see, you know, they see a finish line and it's great. it's still a little bit off, and they would like to be vaccinated a lot sooner. And I think there should be an option there. I'm one of those people. I'm 38, so I'd be, you know, I'd be one of those last. And a lot of people believe that politicians, we've jumped to the front of the queue. Absolutely not. I'll be at the back of the queue, and I'll rightly wait there till it's my turn. But if I was offered, as someone under 40 or someone in the younger age categories, if I was offered a chance to sign some waiver, to accept that there is a 1 in a million chance, and I want to stress that again,
yes,
there's a 1 in a million chance and there's a far, far higher chance of getting COVID and a far higher chance of complications of COVID, I would in an instant sign any waiver that was put in front of me. I think that debate needs to happen, but let's pause, I think, for a few days. We are, I think it's next Wednesday, we're going to have this momentous decision taken by the European Medicines Agency about Johnson & Johnson. If this gets the go-ahead, Pat, it's huge. This is the single jab vaccine. You'll only be in the West County or the Radisson once. You get the vaccine, and within a matter of days, you have all the antibodies you need with 99% efficacy to fight off COVID. And how magical would that be? It means that in the months ahead, we will have a reasonably normal return to life, and that we can hopefully over that next year period phase out masks, hand sanitizers, all the things that become a way of life. And there's a lot of young people. I'm even looking at my young kids. My youngest daughter, she's lived half her life in COVID. And, you know, for young people, yes, in particular, adults get their head around this. But for school-going kids and our younger population, this has dominated all of their talk.
It has, absolutely. Before I move on from the call, before I move on from the vaccine, just on the single jab, a single dose. The other side of that, the Pfizer, where you need the two jabs, but you can extend the period between the two jabs as they've done in the UK. Is that possible here? Is that being considered here? And would that not allow for more people to get the first jab?
Yeah, it is, and I've been talking, I had a meeting on Tuesday with Dr. Ronan Glynn, who's now acting as Chief Medical Officer. So this is something certainly being looked at. And I don't want to say it's experimental, but they've certainly been looking at how this has worked in the UK. Boris Johnson's government's prioritisation from the get-go was, you know, jab the population, get them vaccinated, and we'll look at the second jab later. Now, I think that was a bit cavalier. In Ireland, we've been more conservative, more restrained. I think in the long run, we'll see the benefits of that. But they are going to look at a stretching out of that waiting period between jab one and jab two. And so far, there isn't any great scientific evidence out there to say that that's a bad thing in any way. And what it may allow is for more and more people. We might get ahead of that 82% target. And that was actually hinted at during the week. But the one thing, and I think politicians, probably one of the great failings of politics over the last 12 months is at times it could be myself or another TD in the radio or a national radio minister over-promising, and that's something we certainly don't want to do, getting hopes up.
Okay.
There's a realistic one now. At the end of June is where we're aiming for.
But hopefully, and all that will go well, please, God. No other hiccups or hurdles in the meantime. On the opening of the vaccine portal, why now? Why did it take so long for this to be implemented?
I suppose the vaccine portal really lends itself to the new vaccine regime, where now it's going age by age and air code by air code. So there are elements that I don't like, and I'm on record on your show. Gavin interviewed me just last week about this. There are elements of the new vaccine regime I think could have been reviewed, such as priority and frontline workers. However, it's here, and it's here to remain for the next few months. It's very fast and efficient. So the portal wouldn't fully work until we move to this regime. What we're now seeing is this week, those aged 69, in the 69 age bracket were registering yesterday. Huge uptake, about 25,000 nationally registered. And day by day now, it's moving through different phases of registration. And the expectation is that everyone, all over 60, will be vaccinated in the next 5 weeks or so. So we're getting to our vulnerable population. You're most vulnerable depending on your age. Nursing homes are now pretty and relatively safe. So to our hospitals, ICU units have less and less people in them. And we're slowly getting down through those age categories. So it's working. And yet there had to be a pause button hit the other day. But look, this is a rollout unprecedented. We've never seen the likes of it before. And I think we're slowly getting to the sweet point now where everything is starting to come into play. Vaccine rollout going good. a big decision to be taken next week, but ultimately getting to herd immunity.
Is there a concern that the delay in establishing the portal could now lead to delays in administering the vaccine? It seems to have come very, very late in the day. Are you still confident that the vaccine rollout will progress according to plan?
I am. My bigger concern about vaccine rollout, actually, Pat, would be the text message people are getting in Clare. And I was speaking with you last week about this. They're getting a very casual text message from an 086 number. Yes or no, will you accept a vaccine tomorrow in the Radisson? I know if I got that, ordinarily speaking, I would delete the message and believe it to be phony or hoax.
Well, we did discuss this, actually, Cathal, and fair play to you for raising it earlier this week. But the obvious point of that is people are so concerned. That could be an issue too, but people are so concerned about all the scam messages going around. At least if it's just one question, they're not asking for any other details because the person who's sending the text knows who you are. They're hoping that people will say, yeah, this seems genuine. They're not looking for information, not looking for any other information whatsoever. Yes. But I know you would encourage people to ensure that if they do get that text that they respond to it.
Absolutely. No, okay. It has been a feature, unfortunately, at the Radisson vaccination clinic where people haven't shown up because of it, and they need to tune into that text and just respond to it and go at their assigned time, day or night.
Okay, very finally, if we can then just, Micheál Martin was speaking on Virgin Media last night, suggested that opinion polls are putting Fianna Fáil to be just 11% approval rating, and he said that's wide of the mark. Why do you believe that is? I know that polls can never be entirely accurate and most people don't pay attention to them, but it's the only, I suppose, yardstick you have to measure popularity by. What do you think yourself in terms of that figure of 11%?
I think people are peeved with politicians. You know, and I mean that honestly, Pat, because ordinarily speaking, what politicians do is we mingle, we circulate in constituencies, something I look forward to doing next Monday when I get back to my clinics, and we deliver on projects and we bring good news to people, by and large. That's what we aim to do. But for the last 12 months, much of what we've been doing in the Dáil is voting through health restrictions, people not being able to go 5 kilometres from home. I mean, God almighty, you know, it's all done in the interest of public health, but yet real draconian measures that none of us have enjoyed doing. And on that basis, there will be fall guys. I think Tony Holohan is the knight in shining armour, and rightly so. You know, he deserves a lot of credit, and our frontline health services, and probably politicians will be the fall guys. I suppose what I constantly look at is what's really going on here, because there's 3 parties in government. We're sharing the heavy lifting, and yet our counterparts in Fine Gael are on 32 or 33%, which is, you know, it's a nice place to be at. Look, I'm not... Right now, yes, we're always concerned about opinion polls. The main thing for now, though, is that we get vaccines rolled out, get the population safe, reopen the country. We may be thanked for this down the road. I certainly know my work as Clare's Fianna Fáil TD in the county has doubled and redoubled over the last number of months. We're working flat out, huge engagement with the public. I'm certainly not getting a brunt of dissatisfaction within the constituency, but people are really yearning for an end point to come to this, and I think we're coming quite close to that. We do watch opinion polls, despite what people say that we ignore them. We do watch them. And I look forward to Monday, okay, when I'm out doing my clinics again, reconnecting and doubling down in connections with the public. That's what I like most of all.